M46. Number 2A.
We were considering how these four levels apply to the question of evil. And let's just go again from the top level down to the lowest level. And when I say top and lowest, I really don't mean top and lowest. But we need somehow a human language to express it. How these levels apply to the question of evil. The question of evil is always that big question which pops up. And it's always a question of the human mind, of mortal mind. Because the level of science itself does not know that question. So we begin to handle evil from the level of science itself right away when we see that this is a wrong question and shouldn't be put and shouldn't be answered, and our whole consciousness is filled with that one infinite principle, including its infinite idea. That's handling evil on that level. What do we really want more than to answer evil by the infinite principle and its infinite idea, which is the all and one? If thought is not satisfied with that answer, it begins to see and strengthen itself by seeing if there is only an infinite one, then there is on the level of divine science a sense of infinite oneness which excludes the possibility of evil. Here, the question of evil is already taken up as something to be answered, but answered as saying it's excluded. And I begin to see whatever happens in the infinitude of being, whatever is going on in the eternal universe of principle, in that infinite oneness, there can be no evil. Evil is excluded. The oneness dissolves the two-ness. The universe resolves the concept of a diverse. And so thought gets addressed by seeing that there is no accuser present. That if I feel there is an accuser, if I feel that there is an evil, I see that it is only happening outside of being, and that's where there is nothing. And I reduce evil to its place of nothingness. We like to stay spiritually in that altitude. But we experience over and over that with our best understanding of science and divine science and staying in that one universal consciousness which does not acknowledge any evil, that somehow or other we seem to go through hell. And we can't explain it. We say, now, something is wrong. I have been staying in that wonderful oneness of being, and I just can't explain why so many things should go wrong. Why hell is raised. And we know from time immemorial, through the Bible, through the textbook, through our own lives, through the lives of Mrs. Eddy, through the lives of any big spiritual seer, that whenever they have begun to see something bigger, that it seemed that hell was let loose. And it was always a big query, why? Well, this can only be answered understandingly from within that one being. Namely, that if consciousness begins to see that there is only good going on and evil is excluded, then that statement of truth challenges the belief of evil. Therefore, through that law of opposite, as Mrs. Eddy calls it, through that very law of opposite, truth itself brings to the fore, brings to the surface the claims of evil, not as something, but as something to be understood and dissolved. It only shows that within ourselves there is still something subconsciously lingering which does not correspond with the level of divine science. If everything within ourselves would really be up to the standard of divine science, of really understanding that divine science is oneness, then hell would not be let loose. Then we would just experience continually, not just here and there, continually the demonstration of the spiritual origin of God, of life, truth, and love. But because in the subconscious, and even perhaps consciously, we still entertain various beliefs, archetypal beliefs, subconscious beliefs, individual but mostly collective beliefs, universal beliefs, perhaps even cosmic beliefs, because these linger and have not been seen through as beliefs and as nothingness, our consciousness of divine science raises up hell. Through the very law of opposite, the one life raises up and brings to the fore the belief that there can be decay, lack, death. The very fact that there is one truth, and we begin to see the very fact of one truth, raises up in us, brings to the fore, uncovers in us whatever is left, unconsciously or consciously, in our mentality, which is not of the nature of this one truth. So, let's be clear. So often we individually say, come to a new realization, to a higher revelation, to a new insight, and we feel just lifted up. We feel we have gained a higher stage, and then perhaps a few days later we experience discord. Let's see that this is not discord. There is no diverse. There is truth, our vision, our understanding of divine science, which has brought up from undercover those lingering beliefs which have been there, perhaps from time immemorial, perhaps from time of our youth, unconsciously, subconsciously, and have now to be met. Therefore, a chemicalization is really truth appearing to the human. Chemicalization is not devil let loose, is not hell let loose, because there is no devil and there is no hell let loose. It is that wonderful experience, which is just as wonderful as to experience harmony, is to experience this harmony when it is the effect of the one truth coming to the innermost false beliefs in the human mind, raising up within ourselves everything that is not in accordance and in concord with truth itself. So, divine science brings to the surface latent evil. It handles latent evil, and that's the plane of absolute Christian science. It is handling latent beliefs. We know from the textbook, we know from psychology, that which makes up the human mind and human consciousness is only to a very small percent that consciousness of which we are consciously conscious. And that the majority of beliefs lie in the subconscious. or what Jung would say they are the archetypal beliefs, those original beliefs which ruled mankind since time immemorial. Those beliefs going back into the root of mankind thousands and thousands of years ago. The beliefs of false sense of motherhood, of false sense of fatherhood, false sense of sonship, false sense of the universe, of man, of everything you can think of. These archetypal beliefs, these collective universal beliefs, the belief that there is death, that death is inescapable, that the belief that there is disease, that there is sin, that sin can happen, that man can be subject under disease. These are old, old beliefs for which we are not responsible, for which the individual is not responsible, because the individual is not the creator of all these beliefs. They are handed down through generations and centuries and thousands of years until they are met consciously and are seen as not real and as not belonging to man. So, absolute Christian Science is that which now handles those latent beliefs, because divine science, the oneness, that enormous consciousness which is covering the whole of the unconscious field and is ruling the whole of the unconscious field, brings to the surface all what was working latently, silently, hiddenly, unnoticedly in the subconscious mind of the individual or of a nation or of a group. With absolute Christian Science, we can handle these latent beliefs only then when our consciousness is constantly filled with that sense that only the impulsion of life, which is any time completely new, which is at any time immediately new, which has no past origin, which is not drawing its existence from the past, from parents, from these archetypal beliefs, but when we see that every moment we are divine origin made present, then we handle these beliefs. It is just the same as we handle here the belief in the future. Future is nothing else than the present which is not understood. Absolute Christian Science is that which understands the universe of ideas. And therefore we understand that which is called the future and what is coming, because there is no tomorrow. There is only a today which is understood. What is coming tomorrow, and the future of which so many people are afraid of, is only the very presence of today when understood. There is no future, no tomorrow. It's only the very ever presence of being. So we can see that especially here, in absolute Christian Science, consciousness is engaged in constantly watching that only the divine origin of life, truth and love is projected into presence, into every moment's conscious presence, where we see that in all eternity nothing is going on but the immediate, instantaneous projection of divine ideas. This bringing the subconscious up to the surface and making it conscious naturally shows what is really at stake. And so we come to the level of Christian Science, where we now have to tackle that which has come to the surface as visible error and audible sin. Here we begin to realize that only those wonderful three synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, handle that belief in a concrete universe of evil. Of a universe made up of mortal mind, the counterfeit of the divine mind, which says, I am a reality, the counterfeit of spirit, and says that it can testify for itself in its own right, the counterfeit of soul. So, in this way, we begin to take down, so to say, the standpoint of the one infinite principle and handle evil. But the term handling evil, I quite agree, is very misleading, because you don't do anything to evil. But it's an expression, I don't know who has coined it, if it was John Dooley or who, and it's a very practical rendering, handling evil, but I see that it is a misleading term. Because all that is going on is principle expressing itself in its own nature, down to the point where the least mortal thought is corrected and put straight. But it is always the synonymous terms that do it. It isn't we that can translate science to the level of divine science. Not we can do that. It's the divine principle by itself that does it. It's not we that translate now the level of divine science to the level of absolute Christian science. And I say, well, I have now to translate that to the level of absolute Christian science to late and there. No. It is divine science and the consciousness of divine science that does it. We can't help it. We just can't help it. Because truth, through its very nature, uncovers evil. And evil, when uncovered, will uncover the concrete manifestation and dissolve the concrete manifestation of evil by itself. It's all let there be. Let it happen. But you see, it's a wonderfully conscious sense of let it happen, where we are completely aware, where we are not blind was what is going to happen, but we are completely aware what principle is doing when it translates itself to the point of mortal mind. It doesn't translate itself into the point of mortal mind, but just as the Christ is that which comes to the flesh and never into the flesh to destroy incarnate error. So we can feel that we are always staying in the holy influence and holy atmosphere of the ever-operative divine principle, no matter on which level we are thinking, no matter on which we are thinking. It's always the synonymous terms themselves that operate. And it is only a shifting of the accent what these synonymous terms are doing with us and with evil. Now, let's take up another point which has been asked very often. The question, do we need, and why do we need, all the levels? Well, I have been speaking around it in various ways and so on, but let us now, step by step, consider why we need all the levels. Why we can't have just a preference for one level and say, oh, my thought is only on this and this level and I don't need the other levels. I have outgrown the other levels and so on and so on. Let's see why we need all of them. And we can do that first, perhaps, by going up the scale, and afterwards by coming down the scale, the ladder. Let's see that we usually start and are interested in the level of Christian Science. Why is this not enough? Why is it not enough just to have a consciousness of Christian Science? Why is something more necessary? You know, it's always that human mind which says, why is that not enough? Why should we have something more? It's always that which does not want to expand and its consciousness. Well, let's see what we would be missing if we only had that level. On that level, we deal, as we have seen, with concrete error. All right, if we are staying there, spiritually, mentally, only on the level of Christian Science, then Christian Science is there to wait happily and gently until a concrete error pops up. And then we say, now, I have Christian Science. Now I apply it. I have to put this straight. Christian Science, because it is that which handles concrete evil, just has its only application then, on those very few occasions when a concrete evil of sin, sickness, or lack, or disharmony, or anything like that is popping up. And what are we doing on that level? We heal those concrete evils. That's all. So we repair what has gone wrong. That's all. And we are what the Americans call a fitted job, just always putting things straight which have gone wrong. Therefore, you can see that with this level alone, we would not start to put right questions and to start right problems. The problems of being, the problems of infinite progression, the problems of solving latent error. In that level of Christian Science alone, we are, so to say, expecting that something, some evil is cropping up so that we can use Christian Science to heal it. Also, we can see, and this is what is much more of an earnest concern, that Christian scientists who do not want to go further than Christian Science, who do not want to go further than to heal apparent discord, they break down after a while. They break down because it's burdensome. Just always to do nothing else but to put things straight, and to feel the responsibility that you have to make that demonstration. It's tiresome. And that's why we see so many Christian Science practitioners getting with on and older. They don't beam. They don't show that joy of life, that wideness of life. They are burdened. They are disillusioned. They are not happy. How can one be happy if one only is engaged in fighting with concrete evil and audible sin? You can't. The job is not big enough to be happy. It's too small. Much too small. Much too small. And so I can see how important it is to go further, to go to the plane of absolute Christian Science. There, where you really take the ox by its horn, you say so. Take the ox by its horn? The bull. But an ox has also horns, has he? Oh, fine, well. So we take the bull and not the ox by its horn. And what does that mean? That means that we go further to the realm of absolute Christian Science and wed Christian Science to absolute Christian Science, which handles latent error, which handles really that which should be handled, namely that unconscious mortal mind which really makes out of us a horrible mortal. And you know, hardly anybody likes to get out of its own skin, as we say. Perhaps you have a similar wording in England. Can you get out of your own skins? Can you jump over your own shadow? And only absolute Christian Science is that point where we tackle that question. To get that power with which we are willing to jump out of our own skin. Most people are very happy the way they are built. And whatever happens to them, they say, well, that's the way I'm built. Well, that's how I am. They take it as a fact. But really, if we want to get rid of the mortal, we have to tackle subconscious mortal mind. We have to tackle latent evil. That which makes out of us not an individual, but a compound of idiosyncrasies. And then we call that, funnily enough, our individuality. That's how I am. That's how I'm built. That's how I'm born. And I like it. I like it. I see that everybody likes to be the way he is. That's the danger. That's not good. To like the way we are, it's not good, because we are mortal. And as John Dolly used to say, we are just the outspit of the devil. That's all. It's the outspit of individual consciousness, individual beliefs, collective beliefs, universal beliefs, cosmic beliefs, all lingering in our mind and making that mortal which we are. I didn't find the right adjective for it.